God, for this wonderful skit, for the good service. God's presence is in the house this morning. How many feel His presence today?
Amen.
The Bible tells us in Philippians, the 3rd chapter, verse 13 and 14, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." Amen. Thank you. You may be seated this morning. I want to talk a few minutes this morning, if the Lord will help me, amen, about pressing toward the mark of acceptance, of God's acceptance. It's one thing to be accepted by your friends or your family, but we want also to be accepted by God. And so as we get into this, one of the things that I want to share with you, you may or may not know that ships that are in the harbor, they are there. There's a lot of ships that have cargo, and they receive cargo. And so they bring boxes and crates and automobiles and all kinds of things, and they begin to load a ship. And you may or may not know how they determine when they have had enough put on that ship. And there is a line on the side of a ship, and it's called the plimsoll line. Everybody say that word, plimsoll. Plimsoll line. And that line tells the captain and those in charge how much cargo that is acceptable, how much that they can accept, and then they have to reject the rest or not load it any longer. Because if they load too much cargo on that ship, the ship will go down below the water, below that line into the water, and it will hinder that ship. It will keep that ship from functioning like it ought to function. If that ship gets into shallow water, if it's too low, it might bury up in the mud and the silt of the river or the bay or whatever. It also helps that ship to determine how it's going to turn in the water. And so the plimsoll line tells us how much cargo that we can put upon a ship. Have you ever recognized or thought about that you and I oftentimes take on too much cargo? Sometimes we put too much upon ourselves. Anybody ever been there? Sometimes somebody, what are you talking about? Well, in life today, you go to school or you go to a job, someone may tell you that you're not dressed right, or someone may tell you that you're not doing, you're not walking straight, or you're not doing your work correctly, or they may tell you that they don't like your hair, or they don't like the kind of clothes you wear, or they don't like how you smell, amen, or don't smell, amen. They may look at you and say you're not handsome or you're not pretty enough. You're just ugly, and maybe you're not the perfect size. And sometimes we have to take those things in our life. I don't know about you, but you can look at me and tell that during my life I've had some of those comments given to me. I've had people, amen, to make fun of me. I've had people to not accept me. Acceptance was always important. I always wanted to be accepted. And one of my goals in life was to learn to be accepted. Well, can I tell you today, amen, that we all sometimes face problems like that. Do you remember when you were a young person, amen, that you may have went to the baseball game or to the baseball field in school, and they would choose up sides, and they'll say, we'll take this handsome guy here, we'll take this strong guy, but they would look at me, and I was short and dumpy, and so I was always in the last, if not the last, to be taken. I was not accepted. Sometimes they would take me because they had to take me, and sometimes we face life like that, and we wonder, well, what does that do? When you begin to have those things, you're taking on a load upon your life. And sometimes we listen too much to what other people say, and we begin to take a load upon us. And we begin to get ourselves pulled down to where we can't function, we can't operate, we can't do what God has called us to do. But God wants you to know that we need to recognize that He loves us and cares about us. And God wants us to recognize how important it is to be ourselves, but also to learn how to not to believe everything that people say to us. Sometimes we forget to have confidence in ourselves. There are three things that we need in our life. First of all, we need to have faith in God and belief in the Lord. But we also need to have confidence in ourselves. We need to believe in ourselves. We need to learn that God has created us and God has a purpose for us and God wants to use us for His goal and for His presence and for His pleasure. And we need to have confidence in ourselves and let God draw us to what we can be for the Lord. And so when we take on these things, amen, that people, what people say, it brings stress into our life. Amen. It is a problem in our life. Amen. It's sometimes, amen, it's too much for us to handle. And we oftentimes have too many responsibilities, amen, to take control of what God wants to do in our life today. And so it's a challenge to us. And so we face this challenge of low self-esteem. You know, one of the things that I believe, and I've seen this, I've seen young people that have low self-esteem. I see people, amen, that have this bad feeling about themselves. And if you want to know how that affects you, it affects you in such a way that whenever you have low self-esteem, amen, you don't have confidence, you won't try to do things, you'll hold back, you'll pull back, you'll become like a recluse, and you'll pull back into your little shell, you'll not be friendly outward because you're afraid of not being accepted, and you'll not use the talents that God's given you because of your low self-esteem. Let me tell you, God created you, and the Bible teaches us, amen, in Jeremiah, the 29th chapter, that He was there with us from the beginning. He knew us in the womb. Before you were ever born, God knew you, and God has a plan for you. And we need to recognize it. We need to hold on to our esteem. Don't let the world take your esteem. Don't let the enemy, the devil, take your esteem. Don't let yourself take your esteem away. God wants you to be blessed, amen, for what God is going to do in your life. We look and say, well, what does that mean, Brother Sandifer? Well, a lot of people that have low self-esteem are put down. They're abused. They're held back. And they're looked down upon and put down by others. And I'll tell you, amen, it's not a fun life to live. God wants you to recognize that you are much more than what you think you are. First of all, you need to realize, amen, that there is a thing called personal acceptance. You see, God wants you to reach for the mark of personal acceptance. Paul wrote and said in Galatians 6 and 7, I'm pressing toward the mark, amen. He said, I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, he was talking about, I've been there when they didn't accept me. I've been there when they beat me and they ran me out of town. I was there when they thought they killed me. They put me in prison, in jail, and they thought that I was going to just go away, but I determined I was not going to stay in the jailhouse, but God brought me out and He became a witness. In fact, while he was in the jailhouse, according to history, Paul won people to the Lord. Amen. And so we recognize that he had a tremendous jail ministry. And from the pits of the jail, he began to win people to God. He would not hold down and let them put him down and take upon him, put upon him low self-esteem. When you have low self-esteem, you have aloneness. When you have low self-esteem, it hurts. When you have low self-esteem, you go through rejection. And we recognize that we hear and what other people say become important to us. I just came by to tell you that God wants you to know you're not by yourself. You're not the only one that has faced low self-esteem. If you go back through the Bible, you'll find that Abraham had strife in his family with Lot. Amen. Lot was not accepted. Abraham was not accepted. Lot took one side, Abraham took the other. Joseph was hated by his brothers. Amen. They rejected him. They even tried to kill him. But God saved him alive and put him in the pit. And God brought him into the land of Egypt. And he was put in Potiphar's house. And there, amen, he went through being put down and accused of doing things that was not right and put in prison. And God was with him in Potiphar's house and even in prison. In prison, he was even failed by the baker and by the butler, but God brought him out. Let me tell you, God still has his hands upon you today, and God's going to see you through. I talked about David with the children today. David was rejected by Saul. David was rejected by his own son Absalom. And everything he went through made him say these words, "I am but a worm." Have you ever felt like a worm? Well, can I tell you, amen, worms are those little animals or those little creatures that are found in the muck and the mire, amen, of the world. And sometimes we feel like that's where we are. But God has a different opinion of you today. You know, David said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Let me tell you, God has not forsaken you. And God loves you and cares about you today. Paul said it. He said, "I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling in Christ Jesus." And so that mark, amen, what is that mark in our life today? In Paul's life, the mark was prison and beatings and whatever. But in your life, it's the blood of Jesus Christ, amen, upon your heart and your life today. And so God wants you to recognize that you are worthwhile today. You see, we need to find, amen, our personal acceptance. We need to recognize that God has something for you. In my own life, when I was growing up, I went through a lot of the things I'm talking about. All of my life, even as a pastor, many times I felt like I was not accepted. I felt like that maybe I didn't fit in or whatever. But somehow God gets us through that. When we pray and we obey, God will get you through. Amen, that kind of a feeling. And so I was in youth work in the 80s. And we had a youth camp, and a good friend of mine named Alan McCray came to minister in a children's camp for us from California. Alan was a pastor, but he went through a lot of extensive counseling training to become a counselor. And I was talking with Alan one day, and he said these words to me. He said, "Brother Sandiford, you would never understand, you would never believe how many pastors that I have counseled with who built churches and they won people to God and they built beautiful buildings and they had great ministries trying to get their mother's approval or their father's approval to say to them, 'Son, I love you. Son, you're doing great,' or to get their approval." Let me tell you, we need to recognize that God accepts us when we sometimes don't feel like that we're accepting ourselves and we don't feel like we're worthy. We need to find God's acceptance. I think, amen, that's where we're going to go to now. Amen, God's acceptance. First of all, the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. It's the blood of Jesus Christ that will take away all of your problems. Amen, what you are not in your own self, Jesus can make you in Him. Sometimes we say we're nothing, but God knows that we're something. God accepts us. First of all, He accepts us just like we are. When God found me, amen, He found a young teenager, amen, that was full of sin, that had a terrible mind, it had a bad self-esteem, that felt like that the only thing I could do to get approval was get the approval of my buddies and my friends and run around with them and get into fights and get into stealing and get into lying and cheating and cursing and all those things. And God, amen, found me when I was nothing, and He accepted me. He brought me in, and He loved me. God wants you to know that you can be loved. Paulette and I pastored in Sykes, Missouri for the last 17 years, And about 10 years ago, there was a young boy in our youth group, and they would come on Wednesday night mostly. And he would come, and we would take him home. He was about 15 at the time, 14 or 15. And he told me, he said, I'm a part of the gang here in Sykeston. He had joined up with a gang at school. And I said, well, Darren, why are you in the gang? He said, because they love me. Said they care more about me than my family does. His father had deserted the family. His mother, amen, spent all of her time trying to work and take care of four boys, amen, as they were growing up. And he found a gang that would accept him. And he felt like he was nothing. You know what happened to Darren? Is that today he's in prison. And he's been there for the last 6 or 7 years. And there's no looking forward to him getting out of prison because he was accepted by the wrong people. We need to know that God accepts us. We need to know that God loves us and cares for us. When I began to look at this, I said, well, what are we looking for when we look for acceptance? Most of the time, we won't get our parents' acceptance. Sometimes, some people don't have moms and dads that care about them. But we need to recognize that God cares about us and that God wants to help us. And then there are those friends that we look for. Amen. We want their acceptance. We go to school and we'll do what we have to do to be accepted. If it means doing something wrong, sinful, something that's a crime or not a crime, something that will make them accept us, we'll do it to get acceptance. We grow up and we become married and we join our families and we start raising our family. And a lot of times we want our partners, amen, to accept us. And many times, amen, we find that we have marital problems because that they couldn't find anyone that accepted them for who they were. And they were abused, and they were reproved, and they were put down. And we want God, amen, to recognize that we love Him and He loves us. We want those to accept us. Even people that envy us, even people that that we envy, and people that we want to be like, we want their acceptance. And all the time, God accepts us. You see, it's a deep thing to want to be accepted. And so how do you get accepted? Well, you may be accepted by the world, by the clothes you wear. You may be accepted by the car you drive. You may be accepted by the house you live in. You may be accepted by the career you choose. But God accepts you just as you are. He accepts you. If you're a sinner here today, without God, you may feel like nobody loves you. But the Bible says, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God accepts us. You were accepted before you ever walked in the building. When you came in today, amen, you may say, well, this is my church, I'm accepted here. That's great. But God accepted you before that you accepted the church, or before that you came into God's presence. He accepted you. He recognized that you were away from Him. He knows that you may have rebelled or you may have been sinful, but He loves you anyway. I'll tell you, that's a powerful thing to say, that God loved us when we didn't even love ourselves. You see, a lot of times we have to recognize that God's love goes deeper than we can even imagine. The truth is that Jesus accepts you when nobody else does. He cares about you today. Amen. We also have to press in. Somebody said, well, how am I going to press in? I said earlier, we press in by faith. How you believe makes a difference. When what you believe makes a difference. And you have to have faith in God. And you have to trust in the Lord. The Bible says, if you ask anything in my name, believe it, you shall have it. And if you don't feel accepted, ask God to help you belong, and help you to make the adjustments, and God will help you. We need to press into confidence. When Paul wrote these scriptures that we read at the beginning, amen, that he was pressing toward the mark for the high calling of God in Christ Jesus, that word mark, amen, in there means I'm pressing for the position of perfection. I'm pressing for the goodness of God. I'm pressing for the acceptance of God. I'm pressing in. I'm doing everything I can to be all that God wants me to be. And all the time, God says, I accept you just as you are. I accept you just as you are. We have to press in with faith. And we have to press in with confidence. Confidence means, amen, that we have belief in those people we rely upon. When you have confidence in your brother, amen, you believe that they can do something. And you have confidence in them. When we have confidence in ourselves, we believe that we can do it. When I was in boot camp, and I may have said this before, I don't know, amen, but our motto for our platoon was, for our company was, we were the can-do company. Everywhere we went, when the sergeant would say, can you make a march today? We would say, can do, sir. Amen. We were the can-do company. That's where confidence comes from. When you believe, I can do it. I can make it. And what the Bible says in Philippians 4 and 13, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. Your power is not in yourself. Amen. But your power is that God loves you and God accepts you and God forgives you and God calls you and God has confidence in you. So you need to have confidence in Him and confidence in yourself. God wants us to put our trust in the Lord. You see, you've got to have faith, you have to have confidence, but you also have to have trust. What does it say on the coin that you have in your pocket? In God we trust. We need to put our trust in the Lord and say, Father, I trust you. You say you love me. You say you accept me. I put my trust in that. No matter what the world say, I'm looking to what He says above what the world says. And so God wants us to put our trust in the Lord. I want you to stand with me, please. Amen. All around the building this morning. We've had a wonderful time, and I've enjoyed this, and thank you for the privilege of being here today. But I want to tell you, sometimes we feel so bad about ourselves, and we overlook all those things that's going on in our life. Sometimes we're so blind to what's happening to our life, we don't recognize that we don't feel good about ourselves. Maybe you're taking on what the world says. They say you're ugly. Oh, yes, I'm ugly. No. They say that you're incapable. Oh no, God says I'm capable. We take it on and we weight ourselves down, and we become what God, amen. We become less than what God wants for us. God wants you to have confidence in yourself. God is talking, amen, to some today, and telling you, amen, that He loves you, and you need to love yourself. Somebody said, well, isn't loving ourselves pride? Yes, if you go too far with it, if you become egotistical, if you begin to think that nobody else is worthy, nobody else is as good as you are, that can be sin. But God doesn't want you to drag yourself in the mud. In fact, a lot of churches, a lot of Pentecostal churches, feel like that we're unaccepted by the world or other church groups. But can I tell you, God has saved us by the blood, and we are accepted in Him today. And He wants us to receive that acceptance in the Lord today. She's playing a song, and I want her to go ahead and begin to sing it as we go into a time, amen, of contemplation. I want you to look inside yourself this morning. Amen. Peter said, cast all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. Jesus cares for you today. Jesus cares for you. He cares what you're going through. He cares what you're facing. He knows that you're carrying too much load. And He said in Matthew, the 11th chapter, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. What's He saying? Let's lift up our boat. Let's take some of the load off. Let's begin to believe in ourselves. Let's have faith and confidence and trust in the Lord today. Amen. Sing it out, sister. If you're here this morning, and you say, Brother Sandview's been talking to me this morning, and I feel I have some of those problems, and I want God to just help me. I want God to just touch me and bless me.
Cast all your cares upon Him, for He cares for you. When we cast our cares upon Him, that's when the mountain moves. When we cast our cares upon Him, that's when He intervenes in your situation. Cast your cares upon Him because He cares for you. So good to have you here, Pastor Ira. Thank you so much for your word, where you have spoken to us and given us. I know God has used you, and I appreciate that so very much. Thank you so much. Would you give Him a hand this morning? You can be seated for just a moment. Brother Furman, would you come?